Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday. To get you through this crisis in a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. We're going to take you inside of CHOP to get to what led to the weekend of gun violence. Gun violence that left a 19-year-old kid dead. We're going to take you to the Trump rally. Not quite the crowd that they had expected. So what exactly happened? Plus, if you didn't think 2020 could get any worse, police are now investigating a bag full of human remains in West Seattle. Yep. Can't get any worse. This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
Three people were shot in CHOP in just the last 48 hours. Three people. A 19-year-old is dead. A 33-year-old man is still in the hospital with serious injuries. And a 17-year-old kid was shot in the arm. This, of course, was something that was bound to happen. We knew something like this was going to happen because the violence kept escalating. It started with shoving, then it became fighting. The city pretended it wasn't happening, and so they didn't get involved, they didn't interfere. And, of course, it just got more and more tense. And then, before you know it, gunfire. And as this was happening, and as we were talking about it, and as we were warning people about it, we were told over and over and over again by activists and the mayor, oh, it's a summer of love, man. Summer of love. Fox News is making it all up. It is totally peaceful. It is just like a social justice utopia. All of a sudden, the quote-unquote fake news argument was being used by the left, specifically targeting Fox, specifically targeting me, saying we were literally just making everything up. There was no violence there. And of course, you and I know that that's not the case. And on Friday of last week, I did a quick hit with Tucker Carlson. It's only about 2.5 minutes. And I had noted that the mood on the ground had shifted, that it felt like things were getting more dangerous. And Tucker, in this conversation, had hoped that it didn't turn to bloodshed. And so I want to play that clip for you because we all know what happened just a few hours later.
Jason, what's the latest?
The latest is the mood on the ground has changed considerably. It does seem like it's gotten a lot more dangerous since this new leadership started to take hold, and a woman who has spoken up saying that they will have their demands met by any means necessary. We had, in the last 24 hours or so, a man with a machete wandering around Cal Anderson Park, which, by the way, is now restricted between the time of 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to black Seattleites only. So they will not allow anybody else on the grounds until after 8 p.m.
May I pause you there? So in downtown Seattle, there is a racially segregated park. Is the city of Seattle allowing this?
The city of Seattle is allowing everything right now that's happening. Right now, this entire zone, no matter what the SPD is telling you and the chief of police, is claiming that there's no such thing as a no-cop zone. That is 100% incorrect. And the people who actually live, the people who live and pay rent in this area, they are now starting to speak up, some of them anonymously, some of them putting their name to it, because they're saying, look, what you guys don't seem to understand is after hours, things get very dangerous. There was a local security company out here, Icon Global, that ended up finding an AK-47 and fully loaded magazine stashed in some shrubs very close to CHOP. And right now, the media is kind of getting pushed out, certainly in certain spots in the back again of this of the tents of Cal Anderson Park. People are being told, you can't film here. We're not allowing it. It's no longer a public park. And they're forcing people to actually erase any video or photographs that they're taking.
That's shocking. Does the city have, does the most ineffective mayor in America, Jenny Durkan, a narcissist, have any plans on shutting this down before there's bloodshed?
As of right now, there are no plans that anyone is aware of. They tried to open some of the lanes for traffic, and that right now is kind of tenuous, but it's hanging out there. But unfortunately, there's no plans that seems right now to repopulate the East Precinct, this police station, with a number of staff members who can actually adequately police this very large neighborhood of Seattle. And again, people are getting more and more concerned with their personal safety. Some of them have said they're just moving into hotels for the time being.
Unbelievable. Be careful. Jason Rance, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So I don't play that audio to say, look at me, I knew what was happening. It did not take a genius to figure out what was going to happen. The question was just when it was going to happen. And little did we know that just hours after that, pretty much everything we talked about came to fruition. That when I say things are getting more and more dangerous, the feeling on the ground is different, and then a shooting. When we talk about, and I said it in that clip, no matter what the SPD tells you, no matter what Carmen Best or Mayor Jenny Durkin tell you, there is in fact a no-cop zone. And they were not allowed in. What in the world is going on here? What in the world is going on there? Just hours after I did that hit, bam, a shootout on Friday morning. It happened about 2:20 a.m. It started with a fight. And apparently that was a fight over fireworks, over the use of fireworks. According to the organizer, Rooks, talking to Q13.
He was trying to save everybody by telling, you know, the people to keep the fireworks away from the trees. The altercation arose from that.
So I guess now, over fireworks, a 19-year-old kid by the name of Lorenzo is dead. A 33-year-old is in critical condition in the hospital as a result of what happened on Friday morning. And everyone pretty quickly understood what was going down.
I immediately saw people scattering to the east and to the north.
That's Jake Gravabort talking with Como TV. Apparently he was there that night. And he said that Lorenzo, this 19-year-old who was shot, had the medics, we say in air quotes, because who knows what kind of training these medics have. But they performed CPR on the victim.
By that point, the victim was in triage, and what I really noticed was that for about 10 minutes, they were performing CPR, at least what felt like 10 minutes.
CPR. What is CPR, Producer Peyton?
That's where you're trying to bring the person back to life or
pumping
keep them
the heart,
alive.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not a doctor.
You're not?
I'm not a doctor. However, I knew this was a little bit questionable, the whole CPR thing, because when someone is dealing with a gunshot wound, when you do CPR, does that not pump the heart and pump the blood out of the body? Which, when you are a gunshot victim, that could actually lead to your death. I went back and I seem to remember something that a Republican lawmaker at one point, it was Rick Santorum, and I think it was on CNN, and it was after some sort of gun violence at a school, said, you know, we got to teach students how to perform CPR. And his intent was right. He was well intentioned there. But he got called out by doctors like Dr. Sterling Herring, who is a physician at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. He said, quote, medically, it's ridiculous. If someone has a hole in their heart, pumping the heart doesn't do any good. Learning CPR for gunshot victims isn't going to help anyone. And so I can't help but wonder whether or not the quote-unquote medics, who I assume wanted to do what was right by this gunshot victim, actually made it easier for the gunshot victim, Lorenzo, to succumb to his wounds. Because they don't know what it is they're doing. Instead, we should have allowed for EMT to go in there with the protection of police, but they were not allowed to do so because cops were not allowed inside of the zone. Raz Simone, who in a lot of ways has become a figurehead of the movement, I don't think he actually represents the movement as a figurehead. He's one of the leaders there. He's not the leader. He's trying to turn this into, this was the EMT's fault. Had nothing to do with what was going on inside CHOP. He guaranteed these EMT workers, the fire department, passage into the zone.
You could be saving his life.
Say it over the radio.
Sir, please explain to me what's going on. He's dying.
Medic 44.
He needs your help. This is your job. Is this in your heart to do this?
I want to make sure that we have not been cleared to move into the zone.
You are clear. We're giving you the clear. We will make sure you're clear.
Oh, Raz Simone will make sure that they're clear. When the cop showed up, Raz Simone was nowhere to be found. Cops getting heckled, cops getting accosted, cops having to retreat. But Raz, who couldn't guarantee in the peaceful CHOP a kid not get shot to death, he can, however, guarantee EMT medics going in to an active crime scene where the shooter still hasn't been arrested without any sort of protection.
We will make sure you're clear.
Okay, we have a number of suits.
This is in your hearts. If he dies, it's on you guys. You could have saved his life.
No, actually, it isn't on them. Number one, it's on the degenerate who decided to pull the trigger. And number two, you, Raz Simone, hold some responsibility here. The activist who decided to take over CHOP and pretend that nothing is wrong here, you guys play a role in this. You guys take some of the responsibility. It is likely true that you get an EMT worker, a medic in there, who's an actual professional, having easy access to CHOP to help this kid who was dying from a gunshot wound, take him to the hospital, but he wasn't allowed in there. They weren't allowed in there. Jim Feudas with Crime Stoppers of Puget Sound. He spoke with Como TV.
Would that kid still be alive today if medics or paramedics were allowed to go in there and treat that kid before he went to Harborview where he's dead on arrival?
I don't know the answer to that. No one does. Unfortunately, no one does. I would have preferred to be in a position where this medic was able to get to Lorenzo. I would have much preferred to be in that position. Unfortunately, we're not in that position because they weren't allowed to get in there. I would argue that if the East Precinct was fully functional, where the city didn't give up this building to protesters, to extremists, and the ones on the ground who ran out, the cops, they're extremists. They're not the peaceful protesters. They are extremists. They are fringe. Had that building been fully functional, I wonder if this argument would have turned into an act of gun violence. Now, I don't know. There certainly have been instances of gunshots in that region with a fully functioning East Precinct, but you know what would have happened after that gunshot that was just about a block and a half away? Cops would have been able to respond almost immediately. And maybe, just maybe, they would have been able to catch the shooter or shooters. Because remember, there's a lot still we don't know. We don't know because the cops aren't allowed to do their normal investigation. In fact, the crime scene was interrupted by these protesters who apparently were out there picking up shells, moving things around. It's absolutely absurd. And more people are speaking up, like Victoria Beach from the African American Community Advisory Council.
I'm so mad at the mayor. I feel like she might as well have had her hand on that gun because she's allowing this.
She is allowing this. She is. Now, she's scheduled to give a speech at 4 p.m., a press briefing. She's trying to tie what happened in CHOP to just general gun violence. Had nothing to do with CHOP or her move. It's just, you know, gangs. Gangs get involved. Although, remember, over the weekend, Shama Sawant was pretending that it was the white supremacists and the right-wingers who are out there pulling the trigger. Completely baseless accusation that we'll talk about a little bit later. But if you want to get a jump start on that, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. And I'm going to send you a link to my story if you want to help me shine a giant spotlight on the vicious smears by Shama Sawant, Seattle Socialist Council Member. Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
On the off chance you were holding out hope that 2020 would not turn out to be just an awful year, sorry, we got another story to put on the list that just is a horrible situation. A bag of human remains washed up near Alki Beach, which is kind of reminiscent of, do you remember, Producer Peyton, a few years ago, 2, 3, maybe 4, there were instances of severed feet washing up on Alki Beach?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
And I believe the count was like 15, according to Wikipedia. There's literally a Wikipedia page on just all of the washed up, severed feet, some with shoes on, some not. And for the most part, I don't believe of the 15, they found anything nefarious going on, like a serial killer. This was just so happens that you got a lot of people in the area, and sometimes they drown, sometimes they commit suicide, and their body decomposes, and it just so happened that feet were wandering up. In this case, I'm going to assume that it wasn't a suicide if it got into a bag, right? There might be something more sinister here. Or maybe it was, they didn't even say what kind of bag. Was it a medical waste bag? They didn't give any of those details. And so I'm kind of curious what is going on here. Steve Zirkley, who lives just down the street where the discovery was made, told Como TV, absolutely nothing of use, but we're going to play it anyway.
Well, it's kind of shocking, really, to have something this in the neighborhood.
You think? You think?
If it wasn't shocking,
his contribution?
If it wasn't shocking, that would be shocking.
If it wasn't shocking, I would look at that dude and say, what do you know about what's going on here? Why are you not shocked? Oh, I had a bag of feet in my backyard. I just put them in the water. I didn't know what else to do. It's shocking. Thanks. Now, Como says it's unclear if the bags were dumped on the beach and the tide took them out, or if they were initially in the water and then began to wash up. They're citing one of the investigators on the scene. Steve Beauty, another neighbor, says he saw police taking multiple bags out of the water. Oh, my God.
Then there was a police boat and a inflatable boat,
uh-huh.
And they had a hook, and they took black plastic bags out.
He said he's no expert, but he assumes it was a homicide.
It's creepy. Very creepy. It had to be a homicide.
Oh, okay. It had to be.
It had to be.
Just had to be. Well, case closed. Why are we even investigating? I guess we have to find out who did it.
This guy knows, I guess.
It has to be, says Steven. It's gotta be. What else could it be? God, this is the worst year ever.
2020 is not looking good.
It's just a horrible year. You got COVID. You got George Floyd, you've got Chop, and now you've got a bag of body parts. And it doesn't say the body parts, which I feel like is an important part of the story.
I mean, is it? Again,
yes, it
Why?
Is. Because
if it's a head, it's different than if it's an arm?
Yeah, or a torso, right? I mean, it has to give you some details on maybe the motives. Because again, I'm going into the world of it's medical waste, and that's what's here.
Like why does medical waste end up in Elliott Bay?
It could have been anywhere. The tide just brings it in. Where do you think the feet were from? The feet were from, in one of the cases, was some guy who I think either drowned or committed suicide in British Columbia. And it just ended up over here.
Wow,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, at least one of them. So it doesn't mean that anything. This could mean it has no ties whatsoever to West Seattle or Alki Beach or even Seattle. It could literally be from British Columbia. It could also be from Seattle, but I'm saying just because it was there, the way that the currents were, it doesn't guarantee that.
Something smells fishy here.
Ugh, this is disgusting. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So Cox Media has a report out on how the coronavirus fears are starting to subside enough that Las Vegas casinos are out there, properties are out there saying, hey, now's the time to come visit. I had a friend over the weekend who was in Vegas, and I thought by now we would see more people. Turns out we're definitely not seeing more people because the photos he was taking in the middle of the day when it would be, especially on a beautiful weekend, which it was in Vegas, there would normally be a lot of cars on the strip, people walking around. There was one car and no people. It was completely dead in Vegas. And so Vegas is up and running, and obviously they employ a whole bunch of people. So they are now putting up rooms at insane prices. Caesars Entertainment properties. They're giving prices to their rooms for the Diamond Status customers, according to KLAS-TV. $10 for rooms at some of the resorts. Now, granted, the $10 one, you'll find it at, like, Luxor, which, ugh, who wants to go there? But $10 is insane. Then MGM, which owns, or not Luxor, is not Caesars. Luxor is MGM. And they've got rooms as low as $25 a night. The MGM Grand is at $39 if you're one of the M Life Club members. So they're trying to get people to come in as much as humanly possible. And I was ready to go to Vegas for July 4th. I was going to go because I had to cancel my real vacation. But the prices for the airline, the flights were like $500, which to me means a whole bunch of people are obviously going down. So we'll see what it looks like afterwards. But just know that if you go there, you might get cheaper rooms. But you're also, when you go out to eat, they're hitting you with a COVID surcharge of 4% of your bill.
Wow.
Which is not a ton, obviously, 4%, but it is more. It's like the one of the stupid fees that you get hit when you get, let's say you get that $25 a night room. Because sometimes during the regular part of the year, you'll get, I used to get, like, for Park MGM, because it's a brand new hotel, and they just want to flood the place with people, I would get hit with, like, $30 rooms. And these are, like, really nice rooms. But then the resort fee is, like, $80 a night. So yeah. It's like, okay, well, it's not really a $39 room or whatever. It's much more expensive than that.
Well,
so
now
that's, you're still dealing with that plus this COVID surcharge.
Everyone's going to have, like, that Airbnb cleaning fee now. Everywhere. Restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're all just COVID fee.
It still is ultimately cheaper. It's just the question is, when will people start to feel comfortable enough? And my sense is, we'll see. You discount 4th of July weekend, because you automatically assume, even during a COVID, there's going to be a little bit more traveling. We'll see what the weekend after that looks like. Are people actually going to Vegas or anywhere? And in fact, if you guys are going on vacation for the summer, text me. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, President Trump had a rally in Tulsa. Didn't quite go the way he had planned. We'll tell you why when we return on KTV. Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really, really do appreciate it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRance is the place to go. If you text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770, I make it really easy. I'll just send you the link. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. It was a wildly unsuccessful rally for President Trump over the weekend, if you are to judge it by the standards that the campaign put out. The campaign said they've never received so many people who wanted to show up to a rally. They had like a million people who signed up to get tickets. But at the end of the day, it was under 7,000 that showed up. Now, some of them could not get in because of some protests. They were low-level protests. They were not like craziness that were happening on the streets. But very clearly, some people were not able to get in. But even if they were able to get in, they would not have filled that arena. Apparently, the Trump team were the victims of we call this a trolling of a prank.
Yeah, this is a troll.
So explain what happened.
There's a group of K-pop followers. K-pop is Korean pop, like music. And they have a huge cult-like following where when...
It's terrifying.
When one of them get on board to do something, they will all follow immediately. And the K-pop Twitter group decided that they wanted to reserve as many tickets as possible to the Trump rally to block Republicans from going and attending it. And they did so by a lot of reserve tickets.
Lots of people signed up. And it wasn't just K-pop folks. It was some other activists who were jumping on TikTok and whatnot to push this.
Lots of Gen Zers.
Yes, who wanted to sabotage the event and make the president look bad. And look, they should have seen something like this coming. I think they probably could have done a better job. I did, because when you sign up for the tickets, you have to have a number. You have to have a real working phone number. Did they not realize that a lot of the phone numbers were not based in Oklahoma? Was none of that done? Apparently not. And so they've got a little bit of egg on their face. Now, the campaign is trying to save a little bit of face, saying, look, after a week's worth of media hype saying it's unsafe to go, people maybe chose not to go because of the coronavirus. And there's probably some truth to that. I imagine there's a small percentage that chose not to, but this was not a good look for the president. That aside, the rally delivered what the president normally delivers at a rally. It had some moments that were inspiring. There were some moments that were flat out funny. There were some moments that I can't say I agree with, and we're going to play some of the audio throughout what happened on Saturday, like the president going after Joe Biden, saying, look, if you're concerned about the direction a progressive candidate would take this country, understand they're going to walk all over Joe Biden.
And look what happened to Biden in Ukraine, where his son's paid $83,000 a month and he was jobless. Give me a break. $83,000 a month, more than anybody. If Joe Biden were to become president, an emboldened left will launch a full-scale assault on American life. You know that. They'll expel anyone who disagrees with them. Look what happens when you disagree. You use a term that's perfect and they're not happy with it. They call you a racist. They call you a horrible person. They want to crush religious liberty. They don't want religion. Silence religious believers. Indoctrinate your children with hateful and vicious lies about our country. Subsidize late-term abortion and after-birth execution.
So there's only a little bit of hyperbole there. I know it kind of sounds like a lot of hyperbole, but if you think about the wing of the Democratic Party that is speaking up the loudest and acting out in activist ways the most effectively, it's the fringe. It's the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars. It's not the moderate Democrats who have a stronghold on the party. It's now the fringe millennials. And I am terrified of them. I'm legitimately terrified of what they would do if they had power in the White House. And then, God forbid, power in the Senate and the House. And I think it is a smart move for President Trump to make this about the fringe, because the fringe right now is what defines the left. And that's the fault of the left. If the moderates wanted to have the branding control of the party, they would speak up and they would tell people like AOC and folks that fall in line with the more socialist wing, they would put them more in a box. They would call them out a little bit more, but instead they're embracing them. They're embracing them because they think that the younger vote is going to reward the Nancy Pelosi's of the world and the Chuck Schumer's of the world with more power once they're in office. But no, AOC is going to take over from Nancy Pelosi. Bernie Sanders wants to take over from Chuck Schumer. The base, the progressive base of this wing of the Democratic Party, they're not going to be loyal to the moderates or the liberals. They're going to take over complete control of the party. And that's a problem for the Democrats.
Democrats are stoking division in order to distract from their decades of failure on schools, jobs, housing, justice, and crime. In major city public schools run by Democrats, over two-thirds of students are falling behind in reading and math. And I think the numbers are worse than that. But Democrats would rather deny these children the future they deserve than allow them to attend the charter, public, private, religious, or independent schools of their choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice for schools. It's very popular, but some people it's like a disaster, because what it does to certain unions that have a lot of power over the Democrats, even though they know it's wrong. Republicans believe access to education is a civil right. It's a civil right. 20 of 20 of the most dangerous cities in America are controlled by Democrats. Think of that. 20 of 20.
Now, I imagine there's some folks out there who can make the claim, well, because the 20 of the 20, I mean, those are big cities, and big cities have a tendency to have more violence, and that's true. But do you think if it was 20 of the 20 were all Republican-led that the left would use that kind of argument? No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't at all. Now, there was a moment that the president, I thought, was making a joke. I thought this was a joke.
When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases.
Talking about COVID.
So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
People laugh.
They test and they test. We got tests that people don't know what's going on. We got tests. We got another one over here.
So he's very clearly talking in a tone that would indicate a joke, right?
I mean, it sounds like his joking tone. Like he's trying to rile up the crowd.
It sounded like a joke. And some folks were giving him a hard time on Twitter, the blue checkmark mob, saying, oh, this is outrageous. And I was getting ready to defend him and say, I'm pretty sure it was a joke. I mean, all you have to do is listen to his tone. But then he gave an interview with Scripps newspaper, and now I'm not sure it was actually a joke. So he was asked a question by Joe St. George.
We do more testing than any country in the world by far. 25 million tests. Other countries do 1 million. Every time you do a test, as you do more tests, it shows more and more cases. So we're so far advanced, both in terms of the quality and the amount. And we're doing all these tests, and it shows cases. If other countries aren't doing, or if we did slow it
down,
we
wouldn't
show
nearly
as many cases. You're showing people that are asymptomatic. You're showing people that have very little problem. You're showing young people that don't have a problem. But we're doing so much testing, 25 million tests. Nobody thought that
was possible. But did you ask to slow it down?
If it did slow down, frankly, I think we're way ahead of ourselves, if you want to know the truth. We've done too good a job, because every time we go up with 25 million tests, you're going to find more people. So then they say, we have more cases in the United States. The reason we have more cases, because we do more testing than any other country by far.
So he didn't answer the question at all, and he very clearly pivoted to the talking point, which is a valid one, actually. He's 100% right, and I think the media doesn't do a good enough job, generally speaking, in giving context to some of these numbers, simply saying that the infection rate is going high without saying it's because we have a lot more testing, without then telling us what the death rate is, I don't think is particularly good. But did he, in fact, tell them to slow down some of the testing? Because he doesn't answer the question there. And that's a bad look. We shouldn't be purposely slowing down the testing. We should be doing a much better job in giving the context. And I imagine that if you're the president, realizing that the media doesn't want to give the context because you believe the media is trying to make you look bad, and I think a lot of them are, I get your frustration, but you still shouldn't slow down the testing.
I mean, and let's start with, like, answer the question directly, and then we can have this conversation. Because
totally.
if he doesn't say, you know, if he says he didn't do that, then this isn't even a conversation.
Yeah, just say I was joking, but maybe he wasn't joking. And if he wasn't, I think that that's a bad move. And then finally, before we go, he did say something that I just don't think is a good idea.
2 days ago, leftist radicals in Portland, Oregon, ripped down a statue of George Washington. And wrapped it in an American flag and set the American flag on fire.
Disgusting.
Democrat. All Democrat. Everything I tell you is Democrat. And you know, we ought to do something, Mr. Senators. We have two great senators. We ought to come up with legislation that if you burn the American flag, you go to jail for 1 year.
Nope. As much as I find it disgusting, or to borrow the word, deplorable, to burn the American flag, I think it's shameful. I think it's disgusting. I think anyone who does that is a monster. It's still protected speech. And I'm always going to err on the side of more speech rather than less. I get where he's coming from. I, like so many of you who are listening right now, was disgusted when I saw the imagery. But you don't put people in jail for their protest, even if you don't like the form of protest. It is still peaceful. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. When we come back, a black Trump supporter shows his proof of how the media gets things so wrong. It happened in real time. It was rather amusing. We're going to get to that when we come back, right here on the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in live on this Monday afternoon. I hope everyone had a good weekend. Before we move on to our next topic, we got a text message at 1-800-465-8770, a text message from the 206 that asks a really good question. They say, hey, Jason, why aren't conservatives out there protecting these statues that these leftist kooks are tearing down? Why is our side letting these people get away with this? Now, I want to answer that question from the political, because I don't want people to go out armed to protect statues. I don't think that that's a good idea, and I hope no one does that. But the question is, why does it seem like there's no Republican leadership on this? It's because there is no Republican leadership on this. Have you been hearing from Republican leaders outside of just saying they're disgusted by this, but they're not actually doing anything? And I think that that's the strategy. And it's a political one. My thinking is that these folks are choosing not to get involved because they know that when there's video or photos of this kind of nonsense, whether it's going after George Washington or Roosevelt or whomever, that folks look really, really, really bad, and it pushes people away from the Democrats. Because to be fair, to be clear, these are Democrats, or at least leftists, that are acting this way. It's not Republicans, it's not conservatives, it's not libertarians. It's folks far to the left that are acting this way. And I believe that they think the more video evidence of this kind of lawlessness, the more independent-minded voters will say, you know what, I want nothing to do with the Democratic Party. And maybe that's enough to change some of the battleground state polling, because it's not looking good right now for Donald Trump. Now, to be fair, the polling as a candidate never looked good for Donald Trump, and yet he still won. I still believe that, for the most part, pollsters don't know how to adequately reach Trump supporters and Trump voters, likely or not. But the numbers clearly don't look good, and I think the president is staying where he is and just talking about being the law and order president, because he thinks showing the evidence of this happening, whether it's in Portland with the George Washington statue or here in Seattle with CHOP, that it plays not just to the base to make sure they get out and vote, but also to the independents. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. But we still got a lot of time between now and November, and we're okay for the next several months, this kind of behavior. Who's going to step up and lead on the Republican Party? Who's going to step up and say, this is not acceptable? When will the president get involved or the attorney general get involved with what's happening here in Seattle? There's just a lack of leadership. It's political cowardice. Or it's just really bad strategy. You're going to let people have history destroyed just so you can win an election? You can, I would argue, win an election and also stop some of this lawlessness and destruction. It's funny because I understand why some folks are upset with a Confederate statue. I have this incredibly controversial position. I don't need, should I say it?
Probably not, no.
Right? It's too controversial?
Yeah. Do you want to?
I mean,
it's your show, but controversy sparks hatred.
Fair enough. This is my show. Let me just lean into it. Here's my controversial take. Have a conversation about the Confederate monuments or any of the monuments that make you uncomfortable. Have community input, and then consider just moving them to a museum rather than just destroy them. I'm going to get boycotted for
that. You want a conversation, Jason?
Well, and then maybe moving them into a museum, because I don't care about statues, period. I'm not passionate either way. But I don't like the lawlessness aspect to it. I understand why maybe you don't want a Confederate general up there. Okay, fine. But it is still a part of the history. Maybe just put it in a history museum.
That's such a radical right-wing idea of yours, Jason.
Is it?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Don't boycott me.
They're going to come after you on Twitter.
It's Monday. So there was a black man who is a supporter of Trump who was in Tulsa. And he found out in real time that CNN was portraying him as an angry black protester against Donald Trump. And it is kind of amusing. He was talking to some podcast called Right Side.
You think President Trump was the best for America?
Where I was, I solely stand where I was in 2016. I don't change it. I don't walk by. But you just mentioned the news. So someone sent me this clip with me on CNN sometime this morning saying the unrest is here. And I've been here for five days.
What type of unrest are you...
I don't know what it means. So the news
behaving.
Well, the news is saying there's so much unrest in Tulsa, and it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
It's been calm all over the city, and we've been all across the city.
I haven't. You haven't been unrestful at all. I'll read it. Tulsa braces for clashes. COVID-19 risk. Wow! And look at the photo they got of you. We need to pan. Let's get the camera on that. That is
makes it seem like he's angry.
I mean, they just have you looking angry.
Right.
Like you want to riot. How did that make you feel when you saw that?
Hey, man, it's the media. You know, you get up, and that's why you have to know who you are. And so I've turned them down maybe 7 times for interviews. So maybe it was a chance to take a shot.
It pisses me off looking at that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's okay. You know, your message, if your message is genuine.
But they're supposed to be the news network that supports African American communities. They come out here, take a photo of you, and basically make you look like a rioter at a Trump rally.
Then people see me and I'm smiling all the time. They know what's wrong.
Here.
So,
one of your best people I've seen in every
I mean, there are some media outlets that do that kind of thing. NPR over the weekend had a tweet with an image of a car driving through a protest, and the tweet was something along the lines of an uptick in right-wingers using cars for violence during these protests. It turns out the video that they had featured, the photo, was someone who was getting attacked by the protest. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.